Thank you very much for the invitation. So happy to be here. And so I will be talking on something which is more typical. There's no generalization or exceptional or anything. So we're just talking about K-Day geometry and Calabi-Yau geometry. So so that's my topics. So what I will discuss is mirror symmetry, which is a duality between two things. One is symplectic geometry of a manifold X, and the other is a complex geometry of another manifold X hat. One of the things is they have the same dimension. And these two seemingly very different type of geometry are the same after quantum corrections. So that's the idea. So let me just show this in the most primitive example. And we start with a symplectic geometry. So a simplest example of the symplectic manifold would be a cotangent bundle of any space. So if you draw the space like this, and the coordinate will be x lower j and x upper j to indicate that they are contravariant to each other. Then the symplectic form here is just dxj, dyj is the obvious one that everybody knows. Now, if you look at complex psi, then you try to look at the tangent bundle of the space. And that will not be integrable complex unless B is the affine manifold. So example could be B is like Rn. So in this case, the space will be xj and yj. Okay, so they both have the same lower indices. And the complex structure, dz, is just dxj plus idyj. Okay? And a better way that to understand this is instead of using this to characterize the complex structure, you use the holomorphic volume form, which is a product of dxj. And on the symplectic side, we will be, instead of using omega, we'll use e to the omega. Of course, they carry the same information as that. So so sometimes we will quotient this by some lattice, fiber-wise lattice, so that it makes to make this, when you look at them, so this as X track. So they both map to B. Sometimes we want to make the map to the proper map, okay? But it's not particular importance at the moment, okay? So that is a typical example. And so the first duality one wants to see is how do you go from one to another that you want to change this to omega. Okay? The way to do it is the following. So for example, let's just look at one dimension. So in the case of one dimension, this one e to the omega is just 1 plus dx1 dy1. And then this psi omega is just dx1 plus I dy1. Okay? So the way to do it is the following. If you start from this one, and then you multiply e to the I dy lower 1 wedge dy upper 1, and then integrate the y upper 1 coordinate, okay? Then you see that this one you can write as 1 plus I dy1, dy upper 1, okay? So you can either integrate this term, or you can integrate that term. Okay? So if you integrate the first term, you get dx1, and then you integrate the second term, you get I dy1, okay? So this is just the simplest example of how do you go from a symplectic structure explicitly to a complex structure, okay? Just doing this. So of course, the way to express this more generally is, let me erase this, to look at the following. Can you see here? Can you see? Yes, okay. So look at this Cartesian product between these two spaces. Forget this lattice here. Okay? So let's just call this map pi 1 and pi 2. So the map is just you write this map, and then you pull it back upstairs, just sit, meaning treating it as the same. And then you wedge with this e to the above is a e to the dc I dc upper I. And then you integrate along all the y upper coordinate, which is the same as, or if you like, this is just a push forward in the pi 2 coordinate. Okay? So this is say that you get omega here in any dimension. Okay? Of course, another way of looking at this is, this is really the train character form of the universal connection on the universal point, the Poincaré bundle, relative Poincaré bundle on this bigger space. Okay, so this is a Fourier-Mukai type transformation. And if also, so I'm going to just call this F. And then if you do it again, you probably have to change the sign, maybe plus or minus somewhere here. Then you get e to the omega again. So this transformation is evolutive. You do it twice, you get that. Okay. Okay. So this is the first example. Let's see the second example. The second example is the following. Again, a very, very primitive example. So if you, first of all, if you have x to b and x track, which is a cotangent bundle and tangent bundle as before, and this is a linear space that we are thinking about. And then if you look at some linear subspace, S here, and then you can just look at a tangent bundle. So this one is a tangent bundle of B. Then inside, you look at a tangent bundle of S. And that is a complex submanifold. Okay. Or here, you look at the Coulombo bundle here. And that is a Lagrangian submanifold. So it all come from S. And then in fact, if you look at this one here, this one is just B. Remember, B is just a linear space. And then this one sitting inside is just S plus S perp. So because it's subspace in S, you can look at the perp inside B star. Question? And similarly, this one is B plus B. And this one is S plus S. So you see that if you try to go from this cycle to that cycle, the base part is unchanged. And the fiber part is just such that the deal. Okay? So this transformation will take. This transformation will take this Coulombo bundle to the tangent bundle of S. It's really a fiber-wise steel. And which is also, you can treat it as a Fourier-Mukai transformation on the level of cohomology. Okay? So it's also the same thing that we're doing. So in general, this MS1, MS2, related to the following questions. The MS1 is the relation between the moduli space of symplectic structure, and then how do you go to the moduli space of complex structure. So this is on symplectic structure on a base manifold X, and this is space of complex structure on the X hat, and the map usually called the mirror map. Of course, in our this example is of course extremely easy, and in general this is very subtle, And then the second question is, given a symplectic and complex structure, we look at the object inside, and on the left-hand side is the Foucault category of X, on the A side, and on the B side is the Dirac category of X hat, and whether these are isomorphic, and so on. So you'll see that this is related to the closed Gromov-Witten theory, closed string, maybe I should say. And this is the open string. So let me just say a few words on something look like physics. Okay. So we're supposed to study this, which are coming from a study in physics called a string theory on a space X or X hat. And then the string theory has a different sector correspond to the A and B model, and then we are not looking at the whole physical model, and there's some topological part of it. And the A model side, I'm just writing down the dictionary for the language, is really related to complex, and B is related to the symplectic, B is related to complex geometry and symplectic geometry. So this is the geometric structure on this side is, so the first type of thing is the symplectic structure, and then the complex structure, which are controlled by the holomorphic volume form. And then you look at the, once you have the structure, then you look at the geometric cycle, so-called A and B brain. So, I mean, most of you probably are familiar with that. So the A side, those are, not enough space. So there's a Lagrangian plus a flat U1 or UN bundle. And this side, the B brain will be complex submanifold together with a holomorphic bundle. Okay? These are more on the topological perspective. If you want to be more geometric, this is a special Lagrangian. And then this side will be Hermitian Young-Mu holomorphic bundle. Okay. So, but you need to be more careful. In general, they can be singular. And that's how you look at all the object and the morphism between them. That's where you get a Dirac category and Foucault category, which are more complicated to define. So so this is a mirror symmetry. Mirror symmetry saying A equal to B. Right? You try to make things easier today, right? Like 3 equal to 2 plus 1 or something. So A equal to B. And XYZ said this is not just A equal to B. In fact, there's a map that realized this. And this map is a Fourier transform. So why is that? Okay. So mirror symmetry is not really a conjecture; it's more a philosophy. So you how to? So this is it. So now the question is, how do you understand it? Okay. So if you try to understand it in the naive point of view, that if you think that A on X is the same as B on X hat, and then let's look at the objects. Okay, so if you look this side, you look at all the moduli space of B brain. Okay, and then this should identify with the moduli space of A brain on X, and this is on X hat, for example. Okay, so this should be the same. All this it's only a very rough argument because you need to argue it in a large complex structure limit, which I suppress completely here. So we know very little about any of this. except in one particular case. We know this can get a very good description of this space if the B-brain is a point. Right? If the B-brain is a point, then the modular space is X, is the space itself. Okay? So therefore, in this case, even this very naive thing should tell us something about the other side. So so what is the other side? Well, the other side are special Lagrangians together with a Fred bundle, Fred U1 bundle. Okay? But the thing is, given this modular space, has a very nice property about points. So the point has two very nice properties. That means that it swept through the whole space everywhere exactly once, right? Because every point is a point at some moment. Okay? So it should have a similar property here. So therefore, the space X, if you use those sub-brain to wrap it, so each Lagrangian should also have this property that they could be singular sometimes. They will kind of spread through the space once. And in good case, you should expect that you get a Lagrangian vibration, a special Lagrangian vibration. Okay. And then, so X trap is here. So each Lagrangian vibration should correspond to a point in here. But more so, because each point should correspond to a special Lagrangian together with a Fred connection. But the thing we know is that given vibrations, the fiber has to be the torus. And then how many Fred connections on the torus? Well, so the modular space of Fred connections on torus is the dual torus. Obvious. And so therefore, you can ask, so there could be many different points give you the same L, but different Fred connections. So look at all of them. Fix the L. You look at all the points. Correspond to the same L, but with different Fred connections. Well, so if this one is T, this would be what? Well, all the Fred connection on T is T star. Okay, so so this has a dual special Lagrangian vibration. Again, I'm just still telling you the philosophy, trying to convince you rather than giving you a proof. So the first statement of SYZ says that if X and Y, if X and X track are mirror manifold, then they emit dual, sometimes special. I mean, anyway, I'm not. This is the whatever I said here is not going to be literally true. Lots of issues to handle, because I only argue in some limiting sense. So, but this is giving the philosophy, and with a special Lagrangian section. So I'm not telling you where the section comes from, but that's also easy. Is if you look at that another modular space of B-brain, you know, is when the object is the whole manifold. So in that case, the modular space is one point, and then in that case, you will get a section here. Okay? Because every point intersects the whole manifold once. That's why you get a section, basically. And then if you further describe this along the same line as in the MS2, the earlier example, then you see that a Fourier transform, or Fourier-Mukai transform, Fourier-Mukai or Fourier transform. Can't see it. Fourier-Mukai of the transform along fiber F will give is the transformation which take symplectic geometry to complex geometry. So I'll make some examples more precisely later. And all this argue without correction here. So this are just preliminary discussions. Things look like we are just arguing on the space. But the thing is, if you look at string theory on X, so a string. Okay. So string theory on X will be like a quantum mechanic, because you replace a point by a string. So it's kind of like quantum mechanic on the loop space, basically. But there are two kinds of loops. So this is closed string, and you can have an open string. And an open string, then you require the boundary of the string lie inside some subspace C. And that is where this boundary condition will force C to be special Lagrangian or compressed submanifold, or maybe a couple with gauge field. Okay? So, so you get quantum correct is needed in a psi. Okay. And that cut the Hamiltonian equation. So there are two cases. So when the string moves, you have to move nicely. In a closed case, they are holomorphic sphere inside the space. And then in the open case, they are holomorphic disk. Next, where the boundary lies inside the brain. Because it's A model, so the brain has to be Lagrangian in this case. So let me give you a few remarks. So let's first give you the closing remark, and then we tell you the opening remark later. In a closed case, this kind of this is a quantum correction called Gromov-Witten invariant, a genus zero Gromov-Witten invariant. And because they're holomorphic curves, and so they are closely related to algebraic geometry, and they're very difficult to define, but if you compare to the open case, they are just very easy. I mean, if you just draw the comparison. And they can be defined, and they are difficult to compute, but they can be compute. And the most powerful technique to use is localization method. So the main reason is that you ties with algebraic geometry, then you have many tools coming from algebraic geometry who help us to compute them. Okay, and which is quite successful. Let me just among other things. I'll tell you one success is if you try to understand the moduli space of symplectic structure on X related to the moduli space of complex structure on X track and through a mirror map. So our example will be X is a quintic freefall in CP4, so quintic Calabi-Yau freefall. And then this space, they are not just a set. They have a lot of structure called a Frobenius structure. And then they're controlled by some kind of so-called Yukawa coupling. And then we identify through the mirror map, identify this Yukawa coupling. In this case, on the A side, the Yukawa coupling, basically just all the Gromov-Witten invariant, genus zero Gromov-Witten invariant through 3 points. And then on the B side, these are in terms of period of the complex structure. And then as you can solve those problems, we are solving a Picard-Fuchs equation. And so that can be done. And this being identified is a mirror theorem by Giffenthal, independently by Liang, Liu, and Yao, to identify this. So in particular, as a corollary, that can tell you how do you compute genus zero Gromov-Witten invariant 3 point. Okay. So this is a closed theory. Okay, so now let's get an opening remark. So open Gromov-returned, or so-called FOOO invariant, okay, they are much harder to define. In fact, the obstruction that when you can define it. And you can look at the book volume 1 and 2, just about 2,000 pages. They get set up some of the basic thing to do this theory. And it's much harder to compute in general. So let me put a square here. So among other things, along this same open case SSM recent breakthrough by Sheridan using a technique developed by Paul Seidel, that again for the quintic free fall, quintic RBL free fall, one proved that the Dirac category of X is isomorphic to the Foucault category of its hat. But this is but do not know the mirror map though. So it's not identify a specific Dirac category of a particular so maybe Foucault on this side. So. It's not specify a particular sympathetic structure on this particular Foucault to the corresponding complex. It says this whole family of Foucault category, there's some way that are isomorphic to the Dirac category of the other side, but we don't know which one corresponds to which is so-called a mirror map. So the method is using this technique, just compute both sides and then show that they're the same. So it's not along the SYC way to kind of geometrically find the relation. So let me look at the case. Let's start with the simplest example. So the space is toric manifold. So you don't have to be Calabi-Yau, in fact. You can nowadays you have familiar symmetry for Calabi-Yau final general type and so on. So the first example is a toric. So let me just tell you what toric manifold is. The first example is just CP1, which is same as S2. And then this has a vibrations over the interval. So you see that this manifold X has in fact has a Lagrangian vibrations over a base. This is since you think it's at our end. And then the fiber over interior point is a circle. The fiber over the ending point is a point. So each time you go to the boundary, you drop the dimension by one of the circles shrink. So from now on, I'm just going to just draw the polytope. And then, for example, if you look at CP2, then you just draw this polytope. So indicating that over each interior point, upstairs you have a T2. Over a point in this boundary, you have a circle. Over this vertex, upstairs is just a point. So just drawing the polytope, which will describe you the topology of the toric variety X. So in this case, if you look at the Lagrangian to be the fiber Lagrangian, so Cho and O classify, okay, a holomorphic disk in toric variety where boundary lie inside a Lagrangian fiber. Okay. If the manifold is final. Okay. So where are the disks? Well, these are the disks. So this is a disk. One half of the sphere, and the other one is this. So we're just going to just draw like this. So this one is the interval. And then you have a disk. I'm going to just draw like this. This is a disk.
and this is another disk.
Okay? And the orientation of the loop will control, will decide which disk you can be. So for example, in CP2 case, you have this disk, and you have this disk, and then you have some disk here. So you have three disks. So sometimes just draw like this, one disk, two disks, three disks. Okay, just heuristically. So this will give you a, this kind of information will give you, so in the case of CP1, for example, give you a superpotential. In general, the superpotential is a function, is a holomorphic function, coupled with W, which go from C star to the N to C. So in CP1 case, it is just C plus Q over Z. And what is Q? Q is just the size of the total disk. Q is just the size of the Kähler parameter, parameterizing the disk. Okay, the P1. All right. So this is just telling you the two disks. So you have this disk and you have the other disk. Because the fiber may not be the fiber in the middle. So therefore, the product of these two is Q. So because the sum of the two disks together is the whole S2. Okay. So this is just, and one is Z, one is 1 over Z, just telling you that the two disks, one is bounding thing on one side, the other is bounding thing on the other side. So these are just encoding, this monomial just encoding which disk that you are counting. So, but these are all under these assumptions. C1 is 0. Okay? So that compute this one. So classify holomorphic disk, with expected dimensions of moduli spaces. So. Okay, so these are called Markov index, two disks with one mark point, basically. But let me not go into the detail. Basically, this is the one that you want to count to control the mirror. So let me. Say a couple words. That using this information, in fact, Chen and my earlier, that you can go from the toric variety, the final case. The Fourier transform will give you the mirror is C star N. So this side is the symplectic form, but this side you get a volume form, and that this fiber by Fourier transform will give you E to the W omega as the new holomorphic volume form. Of course, this omega is just the standard, set standard one on the C star N. But because of the boundary, then you have to adjust by this one. And this Fourier transform, I didn't explain it here. It's more complicated than the earlier one. Earlier one, we just transform things on a flat toroid. But now you have to transform things on the loop space of the toroid. So this is more of the Fourier transform, including all the Fourier mode instead of the zero mode. Okay. All right. So another question is, what if X is not final? For example, X can be Calabi-Yau. Of course, this is a case we are interested, which also includes this one. So I call this semi-final, but it was not. So this one is weaker than the weak final, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So it's maybe a weaker final. Anyway, so this thing is we also include toric Calabi-Yau in this case. Okay, so let me look at one example. For example, is if you look at a cotangent bundle of CP1, which of course is O minus 2, or cotangent by S2, and so on. And then if you draw it torically, in a toric way, and this is this. This is the polytope. It's an unbounded polytope because the space itself is not compact. And where are the disk here? Well, just like before, you have those disks which come from Cho and O. For each phases, you've got a disk. You've got three disks. Okay. So if you just look at this, maybe a better way of this canonical bundle of P1. Okay. And it turned out that this is not enough. If you want to compute open Gromov-Witten invariant, or FOO invariant, okay, you have one more disk. Now this looks like this. Is this one growing to this disk? So this has a bubble. Yes. So this is a case that the moduli space is obstructed. It's not that obstructed. The expected dimension is still zero. But generically, you will expect that the disks are smooth. But this case is always singular. It's mildly obstructed in this case. So the main difference between final case and semi-final case is we are dealing with moduli problem, which are always obstructed. This is the first simplest case, which is not so obstructed. So we only have one more disk. And this is first proven by Dennis Ross using wall crossing argument, independently by FOOO using the whole machinery, quite complicated. And then later, my former student Chen has the argument. We need the argument for generalization. So how do you use this to this kind of information? So this will give you a W. So the W now we have four terms, the superpotential, because there are four disks, 1, 2, 3, 4, basically. So it turned out that we will not use this vibration. The thing is this point is just kind of, if you want to look at things that's in the interior, because in the interior, you really have a Lagrangian vibration. Things will disappear in the boundary. But this point, have all this information is, you don't see it in the inside. So one way to do it is you push the singularity inside doing some surgery. So in fact, you can get another vibration like this. So this is a vibration. I call it gross vibrations. It's ghosting, also independently gross discussed it. So the thing is that this is a vibration over the upper space. So this is a base B, which is alpha manifold with singularity. There are two singular points. This one and this, that one, and that comes from pushing in these two corners into the interior. So the singular fiber, so most fiber are torus. This singular fiber is this. Both of singular fiber look like this. It's a nodal curve. All right? So you look at, we're going to use this one, and it turns out that there is a so-called wall here. So what is the wall here? The wall here is that if you look at a point below the wall here, and look at the fiber. The fiber is a 2 torus, right? Here, everywhere the fiber is 2 torus. And then look at those Gromovitian invariants with boundary value in this torus. And they turn out that in this case, if you're below the torus, there's only one disk. Below the wall, you have only one disk. Above the wall, you have 3 disks. You have this as usual, and then you have a disk, which comes up like this, and then you have another one coming from here. So there are 3 disks in different classes. Okay. So so what do we do? Well, the thing is, that means that if you, in this chart and that chart, the superpotential are different. So therefore, if you use this one, okay, if you use the thing below it, then you can construct a superpotential, which is different from the one you use to do it above it. So on this side, you can get a complex, use this Fourier transform. You get a complex manifold. On below, you get another complex manifold, plus and minus. Okay? And they're not the same because of wall crossing, because of like this. So in fact, there's a holomorphic map that glue this to. But this is typical for complex geometry. If you want to describe a complex manifold, you better talk about local coordinate trying to do a grouping. And this is a grouping here. And the grouping is is the same as the wall crossing formula by conservative Soimerman and Gross and so on. And in this case, you can see it here. And then this is how you really get the mirror manifold. This is described by manifold W equal to UV equal double C. And that is the mirror for X. Okay. So computing the open invariant is to get this one, furthermore. And this is an explicit map to get from a symplectic geometry, symplectic X to a complex X. So this gives the mirror map. So let me look at a more interesting example to describe this mirror map more precisely. So the next example is a Torre-Calabi-Yau threefold. OK, so let's just say KP2. You can do some other do, but let's just do the KP2. So KP2, again, it's just like KP1. Now P2 join a triangle. And the canonical bundle is you kind of cone it and then cut the cone part. Okay? So it's just like a KP one. So this one, you go to be like the cone over this polytope and then cut off the cone part. So this is a polytope or KP two. And if you try to compute the open Gromovitz invariant, well, naively, you have four faces, one, two, the thing on the back, and then the bottom. So you have one, two, the thing on the bottom, and then here. So you already have four disks in the usual case. But in fact, there are infinite number of disks in this case. So the thing is, this disk, you can glue into some rational curve on P2. So let's just call this disk class beta, and then call the line class in L, in P2 is L. So you need then the open Gromovitz invariant for one of these, and then K times L. It turns out these are the only one which can be non-zero. All the other has to be zero. And then this one can be computed, and this one is when K is 1, 2, 3, and so on. This is 1 minus 2, 5, minus 32, 286. I mean, there's no point to keep on writing. Anyway, it's just it's an infinite sequence that you can compute. And so when did I start? Huh? Quarter past? Okay, thank you. So, So the computations is our algebraic geometry. Well, I just mentioned that we cannot use algebraic geometry for open invariant, but this is a very special case that we can do it. The thing is, if you want to compute this invariant, so one of these disks, you add to a. So first of all, you can see this is highly obstructed because the invariant is negative. So the moduli space, even expected dimension is zero, but it's never zero dimensional. So it's an obstructed case. So let's try to compute the number of here. And in fact, there's a mark point in the boundary. So the first thing we realize is, in fact, by trend, that computing this, you can cap it off. So this is a compactification of P2. Another way of writing this is a projectification of KP2 plus O. Okay. And it is related to this invariant. You can have a unique way to close it off. And then these two invariants turn out to be the same. So this N beta plus KL is related to a open closed invariant. Okay. So this is not obvious because even though the set are the same, but both are obstructed deformation theory. And the coordination model is a bit complicated. So that's what's verified, that the coordination model are equivalent to each other by chance. And then once you are in this case, then we have to do not too many algebraic geometry here. So let me just say quick. Then we have to use the argument about how Gromov-Witten invariant behave under a flop. And then under a blow-up. So we use some algebraic geometric technique to change it to some other situations, and then it become a local Calabi-Yau. It become a calculation of this. It become a calculation of, this is P2 blow-up at point, and then just computing the invariant inside P2 blow-up at a point. It becomes some local Calabi-Yau calculation, really sitting inside P2 blow-up at point. And that you can do a localization. So that can be determined. And that was proved by Chen, Clem, Yao, and Saslow. So calculate, and that's how you get the number. And so once you get the number, I'm drawing this two dimensions. It's really trying to understand the three dimensions, but the two dimensions is easier to visualize. So that's why I draw it. Basically, the picture is the same. Instead of doing this for the SYC purpose, you push it in singularity, so now the vibration becomes fiber over here, of the upper half S3, L3, And then there are, previously you have two singular points for the affine structure. Now the affine structure has singular points look like this, sitting inside a layer which is moving this upward by one. Okay? So these are the singularity of the affine structure for the manifold B, for the space B. And this is the wall here. Okay. And again, you do the dual vibration construction upstairs and downstairs. You get two complex manifold coordinate complex chart. And then you can glue it, basically the same structure, by wall crossing. And that produces you the mirror manifold, X. And this will give you an explicit map from the symplectic moduli space. So I write this map as SYC because the SYC indicating that this is exactly constructed by taking dual torus vibrations to the moduli space of complex structure on the X track. And using this, then we check that, which we mean this joint work with two of my students and the postdoc, Chen, self, and Wu, on various parts. And this map is the mirror map. So mirror map meaning that it identifies, it respects the so-called canonical coordinate in the two moduli. And in fact, that's quite interesting because that resolved a earlier mysterious issue about integrality. That means that in the first early day of three mirror symmetry, we used the monotomy and other argument to fix the mirror map. You have to match the flat coordinate to fix the mirror map. But then people realize if you do the expansion of the mirror map, do a Taylor expansion, then the coefficient suitably interpret that all integer. And now we realize that at least in cases like this, it being integer is because they have really counting open Gromovian in there. So being integer is because they are some counting problem behind. Okay. All right. So that worked for not just KP2, that worked for a bunch of KRBLP. So next, let's turn the table around. Meaning that what we did is we use open Gromovitan invariant, okay, and then use that to understand some things on mirror map. And then we check that this is the same. But in fact, the traditional theory, mirror map is controlled by once you know the open closed Gromovitan invariant. That can be computed too. So now maybe we can turn it around to use the closed invariant and the mirror map. Maybe we can use that to understand the open Gromovitan invariant in more general cases. Okay? So that's a result by Chen, and Zhang. That if this one is a compact toric, C1 is non-negative. Okay, then you can determine all the open Gromovitan invariant with boundary in the Lagrangian fiber. So this is the generating function for that. Okay, so all the open Gromovitan invariant with Lagrangian fiber boundary conditions can be determined explicitly. Let me explain that. So the right-hand side can be determined. So these are under assumption that under convergence assumption of the left-hand side. Okay? Because so far we don't know this because there are infinite number of classes that you can support open invariant. Whether this generating function is a convergent power series or not, Lorentzian series or not. So if it converges, in a small ball. Anyways, it's not as formal, then they're the same. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, those are Hori-Rafa invariants. Okay. So, this is just because whatever this is, pretend that this is a funnel. Then you have one disk in each phase. And we just say one of each. And that's Hori-Rafa. So let's see that this one is completely combinatorial. You just, when you have one, you just, one boundary phase, you get one. Okay? So this is completely combinatorial. So of course, in the funnel case, they will be the same. That's why. This. So Hori-Rafa is this summation of this monomial U hat. Okay. So basically, for each phase, for each phase you get one. So the invariant here is one, basically. This is a monomial like Z or Q over Z. This is just recording the size of the disk and then which direction the disk is hitting the phase. So all these are completely explicit like that. And the thing is, this is always one for each phase. Okay? So this is pretending this is a K-down, a funnel. Okay. Now, and then Q hat is a function of Q. This is so-called inverse mirror map. Okay, and that can be determined explicitly in terms of closed Gromov-Witten invariant. And by the web of so-called mirror field. Then let me tell you that slightly later, because not everyone here know all the I function and J function. So anyway, the idea is that this can be determined, okay, combinatorically too. So that means that under convention assumption, all those open invariants of this type can be computed. So let me just show you an example. Example of CP2. In this case, we know that Q hat is the same as Q. And that is just from the I function, you can describe that. This one is explicitly known. You can just easily compute. And so therefore, these two are in fact just the same. Which is no surprise, which is just saying that these are all the disks. There's no funny business here. No obstructed case. I mean, the Hori-Rafa is basically counting the unobstructed case contribution. No obstructed contribution. So that's no surprising. So, okay. So what is this Q? Q check Q is the coefficient for C inverse of residue of the following functions called I functions. The thing about I function is it's very complicated, but you can write down and sit down, and then you can get from combinatoric all the data you get. So it's not that complicated. So I function is this. It's Z times the exponential of P1 log Q1 up to. All these are determined by the polytop data introduced by given tau. But that's not too much point to write down. The reason I write it down just give you a view of how it looks like. You either know it, or you think that this is not comprehensible. So let me not say anything more. It's not too complicated. But it's not something that you can just see it and then, wow, this is obvious, okay? So all this data, divisor and all these classes, they're all determined by the polytope data. So it's like once you get the polytope, you can get that, and then you can get the C inverse. In fact, so the mirror map is the inverse one. So this is a mirror map, and then you get the inverse mirror map for inverting the functions. So let me see how this works in actions, in the example. Just give you some feel that how to really get the open invariant I don't have time to do the CP, KP2, it's more interesting. Let's look at the KP1 example, cotangent bundle case. It's kind of easier. So Hori Rafa has only four disks. So basically, you start from the four disk information. You want to see how do you get this extra obstructed disk. Okay. Well, that's, this case is very simple. So the Hori Rafa has four disks. So this is the four term. This is, as you see, this is telling you that the direction. So this is C1, C2, and then C1 inverse, the C2 inverse. And this is a parameter for the fiber. And this is the parameter for the base. Okay, the size of that. So this one is this one, plus 2F, C1 inverse, C2 inverse. Okay, so this is, just sit down for this. When this is a rich class, you can just write down right away. And then you can sort, write down that I function. Then you can write down Q hat F is QF, 1 plus QL, and QL is QL, times the same factor, but minus 2 here. Okay, just explicitly. And then you see that then the W in the Q coordinate will be Z1 plus C2 plus QF, 1 plus QL, C2 inverse. Well, because you just changed this into here. But now if you look at this term, they just cancel. This factor just cancel each other. Because L plus 2F, this is exactly cancel this two. So this is QL plus 2F, C1 inverse, C2 inverse. You don't get any new Q term here. So they look very similar, except you have one more term. And this term is exactly telling you that this is this fiber thing. Together with this bubble disk. So this is telling you that you get this bubble contribution. So that gives you the open environment in this case. So can you do that for other cases as well? Let me just give you a hint of how it was being proved. So the quantum cohomology of X is known to be by the work of Giffenthal to the Jacobi ring of this Hori Rafa superpotential, but with the mirror map here. Okay. So this is something that you can just determine combinatorically for the polytope. This is using localization argument. So these are all things coming from closed invariant data, basically. And then a work of FOOO proved that this is a Jacobi ring of the FOOO. So this is open invariant. Okay. Yeah. So, but this doesn't tell you that the functions are the same, though. This is only saying that these are the same. But then you have to use the fact that these are not too complicated as a Frobenius structure. So these are all both are semi-simple Frobenius manifold. Okay. So therefore, you only need to know how the behavior near the critical point are matched. And then you have to use the universal unfolding of singularity theory. We'd argue that the W are the same. Now, but the universal unfolding is where you always need the convergence. The singularity has to be defined by a function. You cannot define by formal functions. Okay? So that's why you need convergence. This side, convergence is known. There's a convergence on that side. This is not known. Okay? So this is the basic tool that was going to proving it. And just to say one sentence. In fact, Chen, Lau, and Zhang, that in this case, in the case of canonical bundle of something, funnel. And then you can do this curve argument as before. So M, I don't know what, how that look like. And then when you compute this disk, you can also add this to it. So you can relay the open invariant to closed invariant in this case. And then closed invariant, then it's related to the J functions. And then you can use that to compute it. So for this guy, you can also have a direct approach without assuming convergence. Of course, all this are consistent. And so at the moment, we are trying to prove this without the convergence assumption. So maybe next time, you can say something more. Thank you very much.
Your comments? So are there none, then the next talk will be at 11:30. Oh, there's a group photo. Okay, so I guess we go in the hall and we have the group photo first. So let's thank Conan again.
Thank you.